Possession crucial from this. How much longer will the referee allow? Dublin lead by a point. And there's the whistle. It's over. It's over.
We earned it by winning the last two matches on the road, and that's not going to be taken away from us.
But what I love in hurling, I love players that never give in.
He hits it. He hits it. It's over the bar.
Hello, everyone, and welcome along to our latest episode of the RTE GAA podcast. Penultimate round of the Football League, final round of the Hurling League. So lots to chat about for myself and Rory with Ryan McCluskey on the football, and Jackie Tyrrell will be along for the Hurling a little bit later on. How are you, Ryan?
Keeping very well. Yeah, looking forward to an eventful weekend in many, many ways. So, yeah, looking forward to it.
Many ways, for sure. Let's start with Division 1 then, because you look at the four games, and I think in a lot of ways they all, as you said, they have many different things riding on them. You've got Tyrone Monaghan, Galway Dublin, Mayo Derry and Roscommon Kerry. If you start with Tyrone Monaghan, this one really feels like the losers are gone anyway, Ryan, first and foremost, doesn't it?
Yeah, and you know, the league tables do not lie. You have two sides that have been very inconsistent, you know, throughout the campaign. And yeah, listen, it's do or die. It's a typical Ulster Championship game that will wet the lips. Pre-championship, you could say, as well. So, you know, Tyrone will be looking to try and obviously retain their status. But again, I know we called it out a number of weeks ago, and I think we got a bit of a jip maybe from some Tyrone fans as well on some of the platforms. But for me, just yeah, there has been a level just of inconsistency in their play that obviously has put them into this, you know, position as well. And we did call Monaghan, I called Monaghan a number of weeks ago against Roscommon, and obviously that didn't happen. So for me, you know, Monaghan, maybe we've overlooked how important the role of Began has been. And I think it's been massive, and you know, best wishes to him and his NFL, you know, career and what may happen there. But, you know, he has been pivotal over the last number of years. And I think it's a massive factor that has affected them, you know, so much this season as well. So it's an intriguing encounter in Ulster Derby as well.
I think Ryan's right though, Rory. Like, the league tables don't lie. Both of these teams have put themselves in this position, and they have nobody to blame but themselves.
No, they don't. That's as fair a statement as you're ever going to make, Jackie. It really isn't there. But in many ways, I remember a couple of years ago, Jackie, when this new system came in whereby league was linked to championship. And I think it was sort of mooted at that time that the main areas of interest would always be towards the bottom ends of the divisions as opposed to the top, and effectively who would be relegated as opposed to who would get promoted or win leagues. And I think that's starting to manifest itself now in a big way. Is it a disaster for either team to go down? I don't think it would be a huge disaster for Monaghan if they were to lose, because I think if they lose, they're definitely gone. I think they are in a massive transition. I think it'll be a big setback for Tyrone, because they obviously have a bit more depth. They've recent All-Ireland champions, find themselves in Division 2 would be a big blow. Obviously, no, look, they're at home. They will find, they need to find something this Saturday. And I think that's another really weird quirk, I presume. It's because the guards are flat to the mat on Sunday with parades that most of the, I presume that's the reason. The guards will be flat out on Sunday with all the parades. So most of the games have been shifted to Saturday. And it really is, in a lot of ways, Jackie, it's very much, this is the weekend, because you could potentially, by the time we get to Sunday night, have a lot of the big decisions made about who's moving up and down the different divisions. And it's just a pity in some ways that it's buried on a bank holiday weekend. Yeah. But that's just a weird quirk of fate this year, unfortunately.
I do think it's weird, because as well with hurling and football on the same one, it does just feel like, particularly with Ireland playing, which not for a Grand Slam anymore.
But it could have been.
It could have been. And all of that getting squeezed into one day does just feel like maybe there's a small opportunity being missed. Like, there is a Monday as well. And I know lots of people have working lives and all, but could we have just spread them out a small bit?
Yeah, I definitely think, I've often heard Tommy Walsh make the point that, you know, fixtures are very easy until you sit down to do them yourselves. Yeah. And you do have to give the fixture makers a certain amount of latitude in relation to that. I think it's a very, very difficult job for the most part. But it is another byproduct of the, I hate using the split word because it's not really split. It's just another byproduct of the condensed season that we're in, where you have to rush all these things off. Because I think, correct me if I'm wrong, Ryan, but I think the first round of the Ulster Championship is about four weeks away after Sunday.
Yeah, Rory, I completely agree. You know, there's such a turnaround for the Ulster Championship at the moment, you know, that, you know, these players, we would have before seen probably a mini pre-season, you could say, at the end of, you know, the league campaign. But because of the condensed season and obviously the games nearly being on top of each other, as we were discussing as well, you know, the players are going straight into Championship football. That kind of, for me, leaves more importance on all these league games, you know, and we probably allude to Derry and resting players, and we talk about some of the sides maybe resting players. It doesn't really happen anymore. You know, you could only play 10, 15, you know, games a season now. And if you, I suppose, look at maybe a Premier League and compare to maybe other professional sports as well. You know, I know these players, and I suppose I was fortunate to be part of that for a number of years as well. You want to play every big game possible, you know, when you want to be playing. And you know, it's important that managers, I suppose, strike the balance as well now coming up to this kind of penultimate round as well, where they try and get every player back, because you can't just pick this up overnight and then you're going to be buying into the start of the Championship and obviously Ulster starting first. So it's do or die this weekend in many, many ways.
Brian, can I ask you a question? I mean, you had one of the longest inter-county. How long did you play inter-county football for?
At the moment, my body's probably telling me longer than what it was. But anyway, it probably could be 18, 19 years. Listen,
18, 19 years, which is an extraordinary career. And it's a, you know, it's a fantastic testament to you, right? So the question I'd ask you, obviously you played most of your career where the calendar was slightly more flexible and it wasn't as concertina as it is now. Yes. Do you think you would have lasted as long at that level? I mean, I know you work in fitness and strength and conditioning, so you do have a certain idea around those types of areas. Do you think that, okay, here's a better way to say it. Do you think inter-county careers are going to be longer or shorter as a result of this new calendar?
I think the calendar's wrong, if that answers your question. Okay. I think the season overall should be longer. Yeah, I think the club season should be longer. You know, I think there's far too much of a break between seasons. I think we're possibly losing out to other sports and other codes at the moment, because players are turning to, you know, maybe the likes of soccer, maybe junior soccer teams or semi-professional teams, because they have, you know, the correct environments. What I mean that as well is, you know, the facilities are probably better at the moment in other codes, because they fit our weather and our lovely climate, you know, as well at the minute. So yeah, there's not too many soccer matches off the weekend. You know, rugby's even turning that way at the weekend, you know, or sorry, rugby sides are going that way as well with artificial pitches. I know it's maybe not a great thing to say, but, you know, not a lot of these games are off. And it kind of goes back to my point of, you know, I believe there should be more games. I think we're blessed at the moment that we can, and we have a lot of knowledge and a lot of access to knowledge now with the likes of even ourselves, you know, passing on knowledge as well. And players now are fitter, stronger and better than what they've ever been. So the careers, I believe, will, you know, be extended now over the next number of years. And players want to play more games. You know, if you ask the players want more games in the season. So give the players and give the fans ultimately what they want as well. Bigger games, you know, maybe better arenas and obviously, yeah, promote our games as best we can.
Here's the difficulty though, lads, right? Everybody calls for more meaningful games, but the most meaningful games against the opposition that are at their level is right now.
Yeah.
Like, you're going to have to wait a very long time to get a clash like a Galway Dublin, for instance, which is pretty box office, Rory, this weekend Like, you're going to have to wait another 8-10 weeks for a clash like this again, because you're going to go through provincials where we're going to have an awful lot of dire football. I hate to say it. So in a way, like, this kind of year, like, Ryan's right, we should be celebrating it. But like, the class of the pitches is the only thing that maybe doesn't show us what we're going to get later in the year, because all the same players are playing in the league right now.
Yeah. And, you know, Down are playing Westmeath. That's effectively, no, I don't think it is. I think both those teams are going to come up anyway, even though Clare will still have a bone to pick with. I think they still have to play it down. They've already played Westmeath, if I'm not mistaken. But you've got a whole pile of games. I mean, Derry, take Derry Mayo. Mm-hmm. They haven't met all that off. And that's a fascinating tie in and of itself. That's really one to kind of get stuck into and, you know, pour over, because it's a real, you know, it's two very athletic teams. We've obviously seen the situation with Derry recently where Mickey rested a load of players. Do they all come back? What kind of a mood do they, are they coming down to Castlebar in? What way is Kevin going to set them out? They've never, you know, we don't have any real form lines because, as I said, they meet so infrequently, but again, buried a little bit this weekend. Mm-hmm. Now, look, we won't keep harping on about that. So I think this is a fantastic weekend. This weekend and next weekend in a football context are two very, very interesting ones. A lot of the sorting out could be done by the end of this weekend, but you have teams scrapping for their lives all over the shop. And you just won't have that nature of that cutthroat element to football probably for about 3 months after this, Jackie. Well, let's like, you're going to go into a provincial championship campaign, that's, you know, like, you can take with a pinch of salt. You're then going to move into not in Ulster. That is fair. That is, they take things with a little bit more salt up there, right? Salty. But they, not in Ulster. That is absolutely fair. And I think in Connacht as well, to be fair, there's a three horse race there. But look, the other two provinces pretty much open and shut cases at this stage. And then you're also moving into a round robin phase where you're doing an awful lot of sorting out just to get rid of four teams, which I still don't particularly think is a very good format. Now, look, they were championing that last year because the last round of it, there was a little bit of drama attached to it and a couple of teams, maybe season blew up as a result. But I think these next 2 weekends, certainly this weekend anyway, this weekend is huge. It's like, look how big it is for Kildare. You know, no, I think they're already relegated. But what if, and here we're into the what ifs, they were to be able to turn Donegal over. Now, that's a huge tall order. And then obviously, Ryan, the game in RD between Fermanagh and Louth, and how significant that is. Not to mind Cavan Armagh. Not to mind Cavan. Like, what a game. I'd give Cavan every chance in that game. Jackie, would you?
Yeah, I would too. And to be fair, having put themselves in a brilliant position, and albeit, you know, getting caught with a draw, which maybe still, I think it allows this one to have so much jeopardy on it that, like last year when they were going into the Tailteann Cup, I thought they had an enormous chance of winning the Tailteann Cup. I thought they were super football team. They run the ball really well. I think what Raymond Galligan has done with this team, in a really young manager, he's getting a great tune out of them, and I give him a massive chance. And I don't think they'd have any fear of going to the Athletic Grounds, would they, Ryan?
No, absolutely not. And they were so unfortunate against Meath the last day, although it was probably one of the most enthralling, error-ridden, worst games of football that I've probably ever been. Take my eyes off. It was unbelievable. And they'll not fear Armagh. Listen, you know, they went down to... they played Armagh, sorry, in the Ulster Championship last year. And, you know, probably... It was Rian O'Neill's and a bit of class near the end of the game that actually took the game away from Cavan last year. You know, they'll have no fear going to the Athletic Grounds at the weekend. And, you know, again, another Ulster derby. Division 2 was riddled with it again this year. Division 2 has been brilliant. You know, it looked at the start of the year like us, I might call us Fermanians, we were on the horse early. You know, we had beaten Kildare. We had drawn with Meath and Navan, and we had our hopes up. But we're now facing relegation possibly, you know, and in contention with Louth, and that is a winner takes all game at the weekend in RD. And I know, listen, Louth have had a mixed kind of campaign as well, but RD is a hard place to go. And
yeah,
you know, I was involved with the Fermanagh side a couple of years ago when we played them down in Brewster Park, and obviously Mickey Hart was over them then, and I thought they were very, very well organised, a side that obviously were going through the leagues at that stage and were really, really on a brilliant trajectory then. So it's going to be super difficult for Fermanagh at the weekend, and listen, I'm hoping we can get the win, but you know, I suppose, yeah, it's going to be a tough ask in RD.
What's your gut telling you?
Oh, my God, always tells me Fermanagh. I'm always going to say it's just that hope, I suppose. Yeah, but I suppose it's not going to kill us either. I think it's going to be a tough ask, and yeah, I think it's going to be Louth at the weekend, you know, and it's going to be a tough last game for Fermanagh as well, you know, against Cavan. So again, that Cavan game is even more important against Armagh. Yeah. If they win, then you know, where does that leave them? And you'd be hoping that they win and maybe have nothing to do in the last game. So there's a lot of ifs and buts and permutations, you know, this weekend. But again, it's thrilling, and I can't wait.
That's what I was thinking for Yede, that it is very dependent on what happens in that other game this weekend. Because you're right, if Cavan suddenly, I mean, the boost it would give them to win over Armagh and to know that Destiny is kind of in their own hand for next week, it makes such a big difference. Because, like, Division 2, I know we say it every year, but, like, both of those teams could have easily started out the year and said, okay, look, we're looking to progress, we're going to win a few of these games, and you find yourself at the other end of the table very quickly. But suddenly one game and you're scrapping at the bottom. Like, if you take Cork and Meath, for instance, right? Cork a couple of weeks ago, Rory, were looking down the barrel of relegation and panic stations and whatever. Suddenly one result turns everything around and you're looking more towards the top table. I think Fermanagh could have found themselves in that position a couple of weeks ago too. It's crazy what's going on.
And I think, look, to be fair, I think Cork got out of... And look, it's on such small things that your season could turn. I thought Cork absolutely nicked it. And Eden, how do you pronounce it? Eden Derry.
Yes, we got that wrong the last.
Yeah, we got that wrong. It was in a... yes, it wasn't in Brewster. But I thought they absolutely did steal it. But, like, it was... The one thing you could say from a Cork perspective is, dissimilarly to Kildare, they haven't really, barred the first day out against Donegal, who, look, somebody was always going to be on the back end of a bad beating, given the bounce that they were going to get from Jim McGuinness's arrival. Cork were largely competitive in most of their games and haven't really got the sort of trimmings that Kildare have gotten. Now, that turned a little bit, where they got a little bit of luck, I felt, above and Fermanagh, but they're still not out of the woods. You know, like, if they lose in a sort of a perverse way, what Cork will be hoping for is that Armagh win.
Yeah.
And then they effectively have promotion sealed. They'll have a week out from the league final. So you would assume that Armagh are going to travel to Páirc Uí Chaoimh the following week and play the B team. That's what you would assume anyway.
That's what you would hope.
That's certainly what you're hoping for. That's certainly what you're hoping for. But because I don't expect... I'd be sceptical enough about Cork getting anything in Navan on Saturday. I'm going to go to it 2 o'clock, so I have no excuse given it's only 40 minutes away. So we'll go over for a spin. But Meath are in a good vein of form. I mean, yeah. take the defeat to Armagh, which, you know, look, Armagh played really well on the day. Meath have gone through a pretty good start to their campaign. I don't think they've lost a match other than that one. And they have been going really well. They've kind of picked the pieces up. They already know that they're safe in Sam Maguire because of the Tailteann Cup victory last year. So that takes a little bit of the pressure off them. Probably will affect maybe their approach to Saturday. But I think at home, yeah, I'd be definitely doffing the cap to Meath on this one.
Yeah, look, I think Colm O'Rourke has handled it very well as well, Ryan. You know, he let all of his players go off and play Sigerson, do whatever they wanted to do, let club players come back in their own time. I know we talk about different managers and resting players and whatever, and maybe Colm's approach is different because he's in the game for such a long time, but their record is proving that. You know, they've lost one game, 2 draws, 2 wins. I think he'll feel like he's had a really satisfactory couple of weeks.
Yeah, it's all about keeping the players obviously happy and trying to keep a balance, you know, in the change room, which he has done well. Costello, for me, has been standout for them. He's unbelievable, even, you know, in Cavan and in Breffni the last night as well. And I always find kind of Cavan and Meath very, very similar. I know they're obviously right beside each other as well, but I find their fans are quite fickle in terms of nearly living in the dark ages, you know, maybe assuming that maybe the sides are maybe better than what they are whenever they are rebuilding and obviously naturally, just in transition as well, you know, and obviously with Raymond Gallagher's side, they're doing the same. But I don't know, I just looked at the Division 2 games the last day and obviously was watching a number of the Division 1 games. I just think there's a massive gulf at the minute between, you know, the likes of your top side, your Kerrys, your Derry, your Dublin, your Mayos, and I just think they're, you know, from those four maybe backwards, I don't know, I think the gulf's quite big between Division 2 and Division 1 currently at the moment, and I would fear for the sides.
Include Armagh and Donegal in that as well?
Armagh, to be fair, listen, sorry, out of those sides, Armagh, I think probably are Division 1 side. Donegal, listen, are in transition. They've had that bounce from Jim McGuinness and his backroom team as well. But, you know, Fermanagh exposed them in so many areas as well, and probably due, Yeah, they could have got a bit more out of that game, and were, it was very close up to half time. But I just do think that those top, you know, three, four, five sides, now we'll add Armagh into that mix. Just think there's a bit of a gulf between the sides at the moment, and I think, you know, the sides that we've mentioned will probably be thereabouts come, you know, the business end of the championship season as well. But you never know. You never know. It's the beauty of the game as well. But you know, who's to say? I could probably fall on my face, and God knows who's going to come out of that other pile. Then you can say
we're well used to falling on our faces when it comes to predictions, Ryan. You don't have to worry about that.
We were off in Cork a couple of weeks ago, me and Rory behind the scenes, and they've come out of nowhere now. Listen, you know, they're hopefully going to be safe. And Fermanagh, yeah, I think we were banging the drum a bit. Fermanagh saying, you know, they're so close and they might push on. But it's just, it's funny how the season can just turn in an instant.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, let's round it off back on Division One then, because going the other way, you know, you talk about some teams that are flying there, Rory, you know, like Ryan's talking about the top teams, the top teams. Look at the other end. Take the likes of a Roscommon. You know, they're facing into that game against Kerry at the weekend. I think Jack O'Connor is talking in different language about kind of Kerry being potentially safe and kind of relaxed and whatever. Still with Roscommon, even though they have made progress, still doesn't feel like they're at that top tier at all in any of those teams that we're talking about there.
They've been flat throughout this whole campaign. Davies issued rallying calls. They got a bit of a spurt, I think, in patches against Mayo the last day out.
It felt like a spurt, though, rather than a concerted thing.
Correct. Yeah. And look, I don't think there's any shame. Like, it's rarefied air in Division 1. The teams are all playing at a very, very elite level, and it can be hard for... you know, like, it takes a couple of years, I think, to acclimatise to it. It takes probably a couple of years to adjust. You need a massive depth. You need a constant flow of good players coming through. You're not going to be able to rely on 14, 15, 18 players. You're going to need a sizable panel if you're going, like, I mean, that's, I think, is a testament to Monaghan in many ways that they've managed to sustain themselves at that level for so long. And that's and it just goes to show that it's difficult. Now, look, I think Kerry are flying off on Monday for a week. Certainly soon, is, you know, and will they want to head off with a defeat kind of hanging around their necks? I don't think so. I think you'll probably see a fairly solid performance. They'll go on the road. They're going up to the high. They'll see this is a really good test of their mettle. They haven't picked up a huge number of away wins. They obviously won above in Clonus, but... travelling victories have been a little bit rare from a Kerry perspective. This will be one they'll target. I think they'll win, and I think Roscommon are going down to Division 2.
Yeah, which is probably, Ryan, where they're at right now, being fair for all of the reasons that Rory has just said.
Yeah, and I think Kerry will be looking at bounce back. I think that they were humbled in Croke Park. Given a massive kick up the backside, and I think they have plenty of work to do, and obviously they'll learn a lot from that game as well. And I expect, listen, you know, we always talk about the two Clifford brothers, Sean O'Shea's, you know, Stephen O'Brien, I think will play and be more prominent over the next number of weeks as well. So we do expect to see more of those key kind of names back involved for Kerry. But again, I know we talked about Davy Burke as well, and just something doesn't feel right in Roscommon. They have been flat. I know they had a good result the last day against Monaghan, and they had some more of their kind of more established players back. But, you know, whether it has been a case of maybe, been up there for maybe so long between them and, sorry, Monaghan as well, and maybe not getting that regeneration of players coming through. You know, maybe the time has just, you know, taken its toll on these sides as well. And there's been new management installed in both those counties, and it can be hard. Yeah, you will get a bounce, you know, originally when you come into a setup, but again, it's that consistency, and the top sides have it. And again, it's not just because of a population thing as well. We have to look at it, you know, the financial constraints as well to smaller counties. We have to go in there and see, you know, that, you know, the bigger counties, you know, have a lot more depth and a lot more money, whether we like it or not, you know, to build these fantastic facilities and academies and to produce all these.
They have a lovely bus.
Yes.
Lovely bus. it was like the throne one, the big yellow one. I don't know who it was. They had a lovely bus, yeah, as well. But, you know, and what kind of off the beaten track here as well. Just to remember them with a couple of Kerry lads when I was out in a couple of summers in Boston with Mac and Espies, and the wealth and depth of talent, you know, in some of these bigger counties. It actually frustrates me within the game that these players don't get a chance to play inter-county football. And maybe that's another podcast and maybe another, you know, Jackie, and another maybe time for another time. But it's just, there's so much talent in these other counties that never get a chance to play county football. And you would love to see them in some capacity playing at the highest level. And, you know, I'm sure they're doing their best to get involved. And, you know, we look at, yeah, the likes of the underdogs, you could say it as well, and what they have done, you know, over the last number of years, and trying to kind of develop players to get them into their county setups. But if these players can't get into their counties, I don't know, can we get them involved in another county? I'm sure.
Yeah. Pat's Milan Jr. now, and the granny rule being used in that scenario, I think, has proven to be a big success. Connor Cox and Roscommon, obviously, and there's a couple of other examples. But yeah, it's a good point. You'd wonder whether teams further down the food chain utilize that rule.
It's just what the knock-on effect would be, though, as well, isn't it?
Because
suddenly you're like, you know, that and a fella who has desperately wanted his whole life to play for Fermanagh, and suddenly all these Kerry lads rock up, is probably a kick in the face to that fella too, you know?
Yeah.
So,
yeah. And then
not that that's the most likely journey you'd be making.
We talked about the NFL draft. Sure, why not bring it into GA next year? Let's
We'll throw that in the hopper for the next one. Right, Ryan, we'll finish off on this then. What's the game that you are most looking forward to this weekend?
For probably all the wrong reasons, I'm going to have to say Fermanagh Louth, because I don't think I'm going to sleep. Overly well, maybe on Saturday night after that. But I have to look forward to that. I love watching Dublin. I think there's
great doubleheader as well this weekend. Definitely. I think it's brilliant that that's going to be on TV, box office, like with the two of them. I know it's early, but I think it's going to be great. And it's a pity it's up against the rugby too, but I think, you know, class day out.
Yeah, it's a brilliant sporting weekend as well. And I know, unfortunately, maybe people can't travel to some of the games or may not travel to some of the games, but it's brilliant. We have access to them, and there is so much ways and so many ways to watch the games. But I just, again, love watching Dublin. I think that they've been, back to themselves over the last number of weeks, and I look forward to seeing them again this weekend, and pray for Fermanagh.
Yeah. Ah, well put, Rory. I'm presuming you're going to say you're most looking forward to the Cork game too. For our
I'm going over to it. I'm going to bring my small fella. He's a dub, so
it's a cross we all have to bear now.
I'm going to show him the two counties that Dublin people generally hate the most. And see which one he prefers. Yeah, look, I'm looking forward to seeing it. I'm looking forward to seeing Meath, and I'm looking forward to seeing Cork. Cork were away, as we know. So look, it'll be an interesting fixture. There's obviously a lot of nostalgia attached to the fixture, given the rivalry between the two counties in a bygone era. So that'll be interesting. But Derry Mayo, I find fascinating. I'm really interested in that too. I can't wait to see how that one matches up, because, as I said, look, they didn't meet in the championship last year, and very, very rarely do. So this will be it's just a real clash of styles that intrigues me. But look, it's a great weekend of football, largely on Saturday, as we know. And it's like looking forward to it anyway.
Yeah, me too. That Derry Mayo one is the one that intrigues me the most. Ryan, thanks a million for being with us. Pray for Fermanagh at the weekend, and we'll talk to you soon. All right, hurling next, and Jackie Tyrrell is with us. Plenty of games to look forward to. A couple of big ones as well. On one side, you've got Offaly, Clare, Waterford, Kilkenny, Wexford, Cork, which I guess is really where all the drama is happening. On the other side, Galway, Limerick, Antrim, Tip, and Dublin, Westmeath. I think the Galway, Limerick one in particular, Jackie, just feels a bit fascinating, because in a way, it's kind of the closest thing to a championship kind of vibe they're going to get. A couple of weeks out from it, I think maybe there's a tester in there for the two of them, that effectively it's kind of a league quarterfinal, if you want.
Yeah, it has that feel to it, Jackie. I think there's an awful lot more on it for Galway than I do for Limerick. Limerick just seem to be plodding along, missing a few key guys, but it doesn't really change a whole lot. You know, they're just so good at this point that the green machine just continues to carry on. For Galway, it is important that they get some new guys. I don't feel Henry staying on can go back with that same group again, because like most other teams, they haven't got the job done to this point. So they do need something different. They do need new players. And he has been trying that out through his various games so far. So I do think for Henry, and there is that psychological thing, they need to beat Limerick. It is only the league, but it does help psychologically that if you are meeting them later on in the year, that you have beaten them at some decent level along the way. So I feel there's a lot on stake. Obviously, a league semi-final is on the block as well the weekend. So I feel for Henry, they really, really need to push this. And there is some green shoots within that group. I know I did a lot of red cards last week, but you know, that gives an opportunity for other guys to put their hand up.
Where do you think he's at with this Galway team? Like, do you think he's kind of, is he satisfied? Does he feel like he's getting enough? Because they are a bit stop-start still. It's just trying to find the elements for what he's going to get later in the summer. Where do you think he's at? You know him better than most.
He's scratching his head a small bit, Jackie. I would say, knowing Henry, he would have felt that he would have been a bit further down the road with this Galway team when he took him over. It's kind of like, has the same feel to other Galway managers outside of Micheál O'Donoghue, who've come in with a good pool base in front of them and haven't really got to any kind of major milestones, i.e. a Leinster final, getting to an All-Ireland. You know, you take Micheál O'Donoghue out of the occasion, none of the really previous managers, Gerlach Nann, go back seconds, John McIntyre, you could throw them all into that pool. And I would say with Henry's ambitions, he would have liked to be a bit different than those and probably look to emulate what Micheál O'Donoghue. And at this point, you can't say on any given milestone that he has hit them. So it's a big, big year for Henry. It really is. And you have to have the backdrop of they've coming up against an unbelievable team in Limerick. So I would say he's a little tad disappointed that they haven't at least won a league title or won a Leinster final to have some element of something to go back on and say, look, well, we did do that. But you know, so it's a big year for Henry and Galway.
With that in mind, Rory, do you think this weekend is a marker for Henry to be able to go to his team and say, look, let's take Limerick down, this is step one on the journey, or whatever it is?
I think it is. I think that's a very good point. I think if you look back last year, I think they might have met in the opening round of the league last year, and they played lumps out of each other below in the Gaelic grounds under lights, I think it was. And it was a real full-blooded affair. And
that was 2 years ago, I think.
Was that 2 years ago, was it, Jackie? Yeah. So, like, I mean, I think no different to Jackie Tyrrell's team. When you have a preeminent team in an era defining team like Limerick, I think most of the other teams are going to be benchmarking themselves against them. Now, I saw some very interesting comments and columns over the last couple of days, Eddie Brennan making the point around the fact that you keep your powder dry when you're going in against them, that you don't necessarily give too much of your game away. Then I saw Martin Breheny making the point this morning to say, absolutely not, totally disagrees, in the same newspaper, to say, what's the point in keeping your powder dry if when you do show your hand later in the summer and you're found that it's not sufficient or it's not simply going to work, and you have no plan B. So look, I think Limerick present that type of problem for everybody, because they will always come up with solutions on the fly. They've got how many more bouquets and chocolate biscuits are we going to throw at them? They're just top class. I think at this stage, from Galway's perspective, it'll be a great opportunity for Henry to test the mettle, because my understanding is Conor Whelan and Dahi Burke have not got off those suspensions. And if they have, it's a very strange CCC given the flakes they dished out. So straight away, you're going in missing arguably your best defender and your best forward.
Yeah.
Now, that to me, when you're going in against Limerick, really puts you in an uphill battle mode. So I think, look, from Henry's perspective, the very little that I know Henry, and I'm sure Jackie would know a hell of a lot more, and he may attest to, Henry always struck me as the kind of fella that loves a challenge. Like, then the bigger the challenge, he will not shirk it. So I think he'll relish this opportunity and it'll be a good test for them. Mm. But Limerick are going to win.
Yeah. But that's the thing, Jackie. Yeah, yeah, we consistently say this, oh, they're going to test themselves, they're going to test themselves. But Limerick, to me, are like a team in fourth gear, cruising, finding a player here and there. Like, I think O'Dolig has been like a revelation for them in a lot of ways. But this is Limerick all over. John Kiely, 101, just pulls a couple of players in. Everything's fine. They win the game and they march on.
Yeah, and you can be guaranteed that John Kiely, although they're muttering along, he'll be drilling into him, lads. We can see the three goals last week. Tom Morrissey, what you did at the end, just not acceptable. So he'll be looking every little nugget to keep these guys very grounded, very humbled, and working extremely hard for this group. And that's what he always talks about, the group, the group, the group. You know, Rory's on about throwing chocolate biscuits and bouquets. It's more like caviar and moe with these lads. They're just top, top notch. You know? So not a whole lot is going to change. They'll turn up to Galway. They'll love a frontal challenge. They'll love if there's a bit of needle because there's no one better to mix it with them. So, I from our Kilkenny point of view, and I feel this Limerick team would think a little like us. When we were on top and you had potential challengers that you bet last year and the year before, you would turn into a year about what's going to be different this year? Why would we go up to Pier Stadium and not keep these lads down? Why would we give them any idea that later on in the year, do you know what, this year's might be a bit different? We saw a few cracks up in Pier Stadium. No, let's go up there. Let's put our best foot forward. We won't have our number 1 to 15, our number ones in all positions. But the guys there are enough there to go up there and show Galway. It's 2024, lads, but it's going to be the exact same medicine as 2023, 22, 21. So don't get any inclinations that this year's going to be any different.
Mm. Well, I'm really looking forward to that one. I think that one is going to be Full Metal Jacket. I think the Wexford Cork one is as interesting, Rory, in a different way. You look at Wexford and they're absolutely flying. Cork have taken so long to get going that we didn't know what we were seeing from them. Yet they go out last weekend. You watch them flying against Offaly. And I don't know if that's just a rare test, that maybe that's a different Cork that we're seeing. But suddenly I think you're looking at a team who might just be coming into form at the right time, testing themselves against a team like Wexford who have had a really, really good league. So I'm really intrigued about this game too.
Yeah, well, I suppose there's a level of intrigue attaches itself to Cork hurling, regardless of whether they're good, bad or indifferent, because they can be a very frustrating team, Jackie, in terms of playing. They can be so inconsistent, not only from game to game, but even within games themselves. There's a guarantee nearly at this stage that you're going to have a 20-minute shutdown period in every match. You know, that to me is a major mechanical flaw in the team. That, like, the key thing, if you are going to, like, modern intercounty hurling, we all know from watching it long enough, you're not going to dominate the game for 75 or 80 minutes or however long the match is. You're just not. You're going to have your spells. The key is in the 20 minute that you have your shutdown or your off spell, that you minimize the amount of damage that's done. Whereas Cork seem to ship massive damage every time when that happens. And particularly, it does seem to be starting games. Now, look, how much can you put on the Offaly game the last day? I don't really know. I think Cork will, I think Mikey described them on Monday as flat track bullies. I think that could be a fairly reasonable analogy in that. Like,
they're in a different space though, Rory, because of that victory, because now they have the safety of knowing they're playing Division One next year, which I think might allow them to have the shackles off a little bit.
Yeah, and I think that is absolutely fair. I think he is getting closer as well to his championship team. I think the big thing for him is, look, the reality, bar a very unlikely victory for Waterford in Walsh Park over Kilkenny, this is Cork's last competitive game before they face Waterford in Walsh Park themselves. So I think there's no point in, you know, there's no point in keeping anything in-house from here on in. I think you could potentially see maybe 12 to 13 of his championship team, or certainly what he has in mind, take the field against Wexford. And I'd expect him to be extremely competitive, because they may as well now, you know, look, it's into hibernation now ahead of championship after this weekend. So we should see a little bit more of what we would expect. And then the notion that exists out there that he doesn't know his best 15, which I think is potentially a bit false and a little bit unfair, I think that could come to fruition a small bit this weekend.
I think we're going to need to see it though, Jackie, this weekend for that reason. Like, championship is literally around the corner now for this team. I think we need to see it.
If I describe Cork in two words, they're consistently inconsistent.
Yeah.
And that's the biggest frustrating thing about them. You just don't know from Monday to Tuesday what Cork are going to turn up. And within that, Rory raises a very valid point. When they are out of games, sure, listen, they're just gone. They offer very, very, very little resistance. And you think of Limerick, and maybe it's unfair to compare to Cork, but I do think Kilkenny have that hangability. And when they are out of a game, they just, instead of going in 8 points down, they go down in 4 points, and the other team kind of scratch their head. And if you think of the All-Ireland semi-final last year of Galway and Limerick, Galway dominate the first half, and I think they only went in a point or two down, and the game is almost kind of going, geez, if Limerick raises it all,
even the last day, Jackie, sorry to cut across, your apologies, but I felt Tipperary were much the better side in that first half against Limerick and Páirc Uí Chaoimh, but only went in a point up.
Yeah, and that's the thing, whereas Cork, you think of the All-Ireland a couple of years ago when sure it was over a half-time, they're not able to kind of round the troops and all, like they're not able to win kind of freeze out of nothing. And that's probably the most frustrating thing from a Cork point of view. Yeah, they have bags of ability, bags of players. I don't think you can read that from the Offaly game last week. That's a real kind of Cork performance. But it will be interesting this weekend. It's potentially probably their last game, so they'll have to put out some idea of a team that you'd be looking for championship. Alan Connolly continues to show something, not fully sure what that is, but it's something that's not really we've seen in Cork players up to this point. But the big question would be, we're probably coming to the end of the league for Cork. How much wiser are we of what they've learned? I'm not too sure.
What about Wexford then, Jackie? Because like to me, in a lot of ways, they've been one of the teams of the league. Like I think they're playing really good hurling. They seem to be getting a good tune. I think Keith seems to have a good understanding of what he's looking for from his players. How far down the line do you think they are?
Oh, I think an awful lot further, Jackie, than, you know, when they started the league. I always remember Darragh Egan when they got bet by Clare in the All-Ireland quarterfinal in Turles. And they ask him what happened at the end of the game. He says, we just ran out of bodies. I remember the injuries just caught up him. And he got the feeling that they looked at the line and they just had no one really to bring on. Whereas now you're looking with the backdrop of all those players that have gone and all these new lads that have come in, put their hand up, shown a level of consistency, shown a level of appetite and hunger. And you kind of go, God, Keith Rossiter's building something really good here, really quick. You know, and he does it in a kind of a, I don't know how you would... I feel like when you go from being a player to a manager, you change a small bit. I don't think he's changed. Like even in his post-match commentary, like he tells it as it is. I'd say he's very straight down the line. I'd say lads know exactly what to expect from him. They know exactly where they stand and they're responding to him. Yeah. Seamus Casey, I think, has been a huge addition along with the younger guys that just have this kind of carefree attitude. So a lot of good momentum down there. And I'd say for the likes of Lee Chin and these guys coming back, it's great because they're like, right, we have to lift it up before, whereas now we just kind of slot in here now and we can, you know, there's something building here. So you couldn't speak how highly the job Keith Rosser has done at this point. Unbeaten, won the Walsh Cup, you know, all that stuff stacks up and builds really good momentum and confidence within the group. And the faith that they must have in Keith Rosser right now must be through the roof.
That's the key thing, Rory, because he's giving them the keys.
He strikes me as the kind of fella that you'd love to play for.
Exactly.
I'd say if you're in the dressing room, you're saying, you know, I'm going to do it for this fella. You're doing it for the jersey and all of that. But look, ultimately, I think it was very instructive for me on the back of last year when Wexford flirted with the possibility of dropping out of senior hurling down to the Joan McDonagh. And for them to decide there and then, right, after having no inside man since Liam Dunn, potentially, Jackie, if I'm not mistaken.
Right, yeah.
Because you had obviously Derek Gleeson and then Davey for a good number of years before that. They said, right, we're going back in-house and we're going to sort our own problems out and we're going to put a Wexford man in charge. And look at the response that he's gotten. I think it has been instructive and illuminating for an awful lot of other counties. And it's a real word of caution that, like, you know, look, self-help is the best help of all. And to me, they're one of the stories of the spring. I think they're unbeaten. Did they win the Welsh Cup
Yeah, they are. Yeah.
So they haven't lost a match yet. And they'll be, I would expect, a fairly raucous crowd in Wexford Park on Saturday. I think if it wasn't so far for me to drive, that's where I would have gone, Jackie, instead of Navin. But Navin is a lot handier, right? But, there'll be a raucous crowd in Wexford Park. The support will get in behind them. To my mind, if you look at what Wexford have to achieve to make their season a success, it's beating Dublin. That's effectively what Wexford have to do, and they will be in the last six. I think they are home and host for that now.
Yeah.
And sorry, just one thing, Jackie. It's not all blood and thunder with him. Like, you think
the adjustments
that he made as a manager. He looked at where they were going really poor, where they were weak, the Jamie Barron effect. He had made adjustments and it worked so well. So, you know, it's not just blood and thunder and a bit of freshness coming in. It's wrapped up in some really good tactical maneuvering with Davy Franks in the background as well. So it's a good setup.
Yeah, they're definitely going the right way. I think that that is absolutely for sure. What about the other big game then of the weekend? You mentioned Waterford Kilkenny, and it seems to me, Jackie, Waterford are just going the other way for whatever reason right now. It just hasn't been happening for them. They need to find a win somewhere. I don't know if it's going to be this weekend, but if it's not, suddenly that Munster Championship opener is on the horizon and they're still not sure what their house looks like. It seems to me they need to start finding a winning formula fast.
Yeah, most definitely. You know, Waterford's trend is completely going the opposite way to Wexford. You think they don't really know what kind of they're playing. Davies tried so much through the league as regards the level of players, tactics, puck outs, emptying out the defence, putting balls up down the middle, all this kind of stuff. Some of the stuff you wonder, is it just trying for the sake of it? Look, there's a hint of a lot of unrest talking to some Waterford people. They're not happy at all. Like, it's do or die, probably the first round game against Cork, really, that round robin. That's what it's looking like. What Dave will be looking for this weekend, probably just if he can manufacture a win from a confidence point of view, and maybe try to start getting the balance right, bedding down positions, because, you know, Conor Prunty, like, his form seems to have fallen off the face of a cliff in the last couple of years. I know he's a lot of injuries. Jamie Barron is very a big positive to have him coming back. Tied to Burke, we still haven't seen yet, and it's a big ask for him. So I don't even know where Waterford are at this minute. And even Davey's comment at the end, like last week, we'll take whatever flack's going. What does he expect? He's managing Waterford, and they're underperforming the last 2 years. So there's going to be questions down there because they're a proud hurling county. So they just need to manufacture some sort of a win or a really strong performance or a result the weekend. That's something they can build on for the next couple of weeks.
A lot of times, though, Rory, you look to the evidence and you say, OK, where's it coming from? We can point and say, we're doing this well, we're doing this well, we're doing this well. I just don't know when he looks at the body of evidence if he'll have confidence that they can deliver based on what he's seeing for all the reasons that Jackie has outlined there.
Yeah, and even the game itself, like, may feel slightly non-competitive. I don't know if there's a huge amount at stake. There potentially is for Kilkenny because they need to make sure of a place in the semi-finals with a victory. But I think the pecking order for Division One is already decided, barring a complete freak of results in terms of scoring averages. So from Waterford's perspective, they're playing Division Two hurling next year. Now, that is not good. I don't care what anyone says. You can put all the eggs you want into the championship basket. And by the way, that is a dodgy basket to be putting any eggs into, given their track record in the Munster Championship round robin since that came into existence. So, like, to my mind, you know, you would have expected more. A couple of caveats that you probably have to throw their way. They are missing quite a few true injuries. Like, if you took Conor Prunty and Tyke DeBurka out of any team, that's effectively 3-6. That's the spine of your defence. That is difficult. Any team would struggle on that regard. And you're not only talking two of your best players, you're also talking two of your biggest leaders, potentially your captain. I think Conor certainly was of recent times. So they have been missing some players, but like every team misses players through the league. Like, these are the things you just have to cope with and get on with. And I think, look, it's been disappointing. They're going to have to, you know, have some turnaround from a form perspective to try and get some kind of momentum going ahead of that game against Cork. But I think that's where their season lies now. And the biggest thing that needs to happen this weekend is, as you said, and Jackie mentioned, is a performance of some sort. Like, the last thing they need is to sign off the campaign by getting a trimming from Kilkenny down in their own patch.
Yeah. Last word to you on Kilkenny then, Jackie, because they do have a habit of doing that.
They do, but look, the league has been probably a mixed bag, Jackie. You know, I was into the game against Wexford. We should have won that. We coughed up a really poor goal. And in fairness, Wexford, they took the initiative and got a result out of it. Against Clare, we put a load of team out and didn't get the job done. So that would be concerning. And Derek was kind of bullish in his comments after the game, saying, look, we need to start locking down some positions, championships around the corner. Big concern around the half back line, and particularly the six Richie Reid got whipped at half time. Clare exposed that from a pace point of view. So it is Kilkenny will want to win the weekend and make sure they're in the league final. It is the local derby of the neighbours down the road as well. So I expect Kilkenny to kind of really front up. Look, Adrian Mullen continues his trend of really, really being one of the top players at the minute. The 70 minutes into Tija last week will help. A lot of key guys are starting to come back in there as well. So I expect Kilkenny to get a win there the weekend.
Yeah, I'd say you're not the only one. Lads, we'll have to leave it there. Wherever you're going at the weekend, hope you enjoy it. Jackie, thanks so much for being with us. And we'll
no
be
problem,
back.
Jackie. One quick thing for Rory. I see St. Kieran's under ninth All-Ireland the weekend.
I knew what I was saying.
Any Harvey Cup representations there, Rory or Jackie?
I was saying, would we get through the podcast without mentioning the Cork Cup final? No. Definitely. In fairness now, Cairns, they are some story. Like, I always remember we did a piece on them, Jackie, a good few years ago from a TV perspective. I went down and produced it myself. And when you're walking into the place, it's like Hogwarts, you know, like Hogwarts, even the design of the building, it's got that sort of old sort of, you know, the kind of Georgian Victorian feel to the design. And there's these lovely gardens. And then you walk in and you just see Hurleys everywhere. So you're walking past them, slitters flying over your head and a whole lot. And it's just an institution. It's an incredible finishing school. It's just one of these places. I think in years to come, they'll do a proper documentary on it. And I mean, did you win one, did Jackie, while you were there?
Yeah, we won one in 99. Brian Carroll of Offaly, Noel Kelly were on our team.
So you were important players that time. Yeah.
Big money the transfers there.
The borders are gone, though. We've no borders now, and our success is still going. So there's no Harty Cup representation again, Rory.
Isn't. No, they were both beaten in the semi-final. So, you know, it's very hard to get out of Munster, though, Jackie. Oh, you're always
right, Jackie, we'll wrap it up now. That's enough.
Stop. We'll continue that one another day. Right.
Exactly. Thanks,
good luck.
Guys.
We'll talk to you all
about it. See you, folks.
Cheers, guys.
There's the whistle. It's over.